Luke chapter 10, I want you to notice again, verse 41 of this text, and notice very carefully how our Lord frames his answer to Martha. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." You'll notice the words "many things," the word in the Greek for troubled is terbazo, which literally means crowded out or distracted. In other words, the Lord was reminding Martha that many things are distractions. Life, obviously, is full of distractions. And then he says this, comparing the many things, verse 42. But one thing. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now you see what the Lord is saying, right? The word needful is necessary in the Greek. Literally, it's a necessary event, if you will, so that the message is pretty clear, and it is this. There are many, many distractions in life that can crowd out the one necessary event in life. Now, that event, of course, depends upon the context and the time and the place. The event right now, if you will, is church. For example, the Lord's Day and this assembly. Tomorrow, the event will be different. But whatever the event, there will always be the many, many distractions robbing or ruining that event. You know, in almost 40 years of full-time ministry, I have conducted scores and scores of wedding ceremonies. That ceremony on that day was the event. Now, the ceremony is only 20 or 25 minutes, but it would be the one necessary thing at the moment. However, on the day of the event, there are 1,000 different distractions. And I can tell you right now that it's rare to see a bride and groom, and especially in recent years, who's truly present for the event, who is not worried and full of care and troubled and distracted about so many things. Now, of course, they have photographers and videographers and stenographers and courtroom sketch artists and PA guys all there for future reference, and they can watch it later. But you know, it's not the same. Being distracted away from the one thing by the many things will always be a carnal temptation, but never more so and never more destructively than when the main thing is what it says in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the phone grab. The phone grab. You know what that is, right? According to experts, this is Andy's phone, I grabbed it. It's got a cute picture of Sarah and the baby there. According to experts, people who own smartphones grab their phones and check it on average every 4.5 minutes. It's called a phone grab. And of course, when they do, they open up a window of many, many distractions. It's Facebook and Gmail and Instagram, the stock market, politics and texting and Yahoo. They can go online and look at Twitter and their photos and LinkedIn and YouTube and Snapchat and ESPN and Candy Crush. And they grab it. Did anyone comment on my post? How many likes are on my selfie? What's the latest NBA score? How's the market? Who didn't like my selfie? What text or tweet or email or notification did I just get in my pocket? Or even worse, what illicit thing can I look at with my eyes now? It's the tyranny and the idolatry of distraction. And you know, as you can see from the example of Mary and Martha, it's nothing new for the many things to rob you of the one thing. Our Father in heaven, I pray you'll help us now as we look at this important text for us today, to recognize that it is in your eternal word for a reason. May we find all of those reasons in our heart and soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We said a moment ago that according to researchers, the average smartphone user checks his phone every 4.5 minutes. Now, I've thought about that, and you know, I wonder if there's anything in the spiritual world that Christians do that's godly every 4.5 minutes. Pray every 4.5 minutes. Read Scripture every 4.5 minutes. Praise God and give thanks every 4.5 minutes. Witness to someone every 4.5 minutes. Can you imagine if every 4.5 minutes, instead of grabbing your smartphone, you sang a psalm or memorized a scripture? Last week, I was studying and thinking about the 46th Psalm. That psalm is an amazing text that blessed my heart, and I needed it last week. It's the same psalm that Luther read when he was shut up in the Wartburg Castle, forced to hide. And he wrote the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," based upon that psalm. And of course, the psalm opens with the words, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear." And it goes on like that. And what's intriguing is it goes on and on, always in the third person, magnifying the attributes of God. Third person. Until you come to the one and only verse in the entire psalm that's in the first person. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, wait a minute. Early in the week when that text spoke to me, I want to know exactly what "be still" means, the Hebrew word rapha. And as a literal interpretation, not surprisingly, it means to let drop and to let go. In other words, whatever it is that you're reaching for and grabbing for and clenching and seizing, be still. Let it go for a while and stop and know that He is God. And of course, the implication is if you can't be still, then you'll never really know. And so you think about the word rapha. For instance, let it go. Let it drop. Be still. And then you'll know that He is God. For Martha in Luke chapter 10, she was holding on to some pots and some pans and some dishes and some bowls. And all the while, you know what? They were distractions from the one thing that was needful. She'll never really know Him until she's still. He's teaching. You'll notice in verse 41 how the Lord Jesus calls Martha out by name, not once but twice. Martha, Martha. You see, folks, this was serious business with the Lord. He loves her and He wants her to understand she's missing out and she's wrong about Mary. And by the way, she was also wrong about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice her accusation in verse 40? Look at it. "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Him." She had to interrupt Him. "And came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care?'" That's an accusation. You know how many times I've counseled folks who, because they don't really know the Lord, then they falsely accuse Him. "Lord, don't You care? Really? You need to be still and know that He is Lord." Three lessons in the brief text this morning. All of them come directly from the Lord's admonition. The first one you'll notice, number one, is a lesson of anxiety. Look at verse 41. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful.'" That means full of care. Remember, Jesus said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about stuff. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, wait a minute. You recognize, beloved, that first of all, our Lord knew that Martha was full of anxiety and worry on that day. In other words, He didn't look at Martha's hustle and bustle and say, "Well, you know, she's just type A personality." He didn't say, "Martha, Martha, you're so productive and motivated and energetic and dynamic." That's what Martha would have said. She would have said, "Well, I'm just a doer. I don't have time to sit around and hear the word. I wish I did, but I'm just too busy. Too busy. Do you know that's what all distracted people say? And most observers and people around them would agree with them. She's awesome. Look at her go. Look at Martha spin all of those plates, but not the Lord. You see, Jesus is God, and he sees right through our hearts. He sees right through Martha's scurrying around. And he says, Martha, you know what? You're unsettled. You're a nervous wreck. You're anxious, and you're burdened. He identified her heart, and then he attaches the cause for all of the worry. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about. He's going to tell her why. Many things. You know, the Lord Jesus is really the only true expert on the human condition. You can go check out all the books you want on the human psyche and depression and anxiety and read them all. But this book, God is the expert on the human soul. Modern psychology is a joke when compared to the wisdom of our Lord. And yes, Martha's worry and her anxiety were caused by her distractions, her, quote, many, many things. And of course, that is precisely what happens in life to all of us. Anytime you're cumbered about with many things at the cost of the one thing, your anxiety level will multiply. Neglecting the main thing because of many things always leads to stress and worry. Remember the story of the couple going on a long European vacation. And with 21 bags of luggage and the crazy logistics with all of the ride to the airport and the packages and the delays and the parking and finally getting to the counter, having diligently done all of the things, they're going through security and the husband says, you know what? Do you know what, honey? I wish. What is that? He said, I wish I had brought the piano. She said, are you crazy? We have 21 bags and we're going to Europe. Why the piano? And he said, because I left the plane tickets on the piano. It's always stressful when many things lead you from the main thing, and especially so when the main thing for us is the kingdom of God. I'm a big fan of modern technology. Frankly, it's part of the Imago Dei, as far as I am concerned, Latin for the image of God. It is that God has given us, God has made us in his image. We also are creative beings. If you go through Genesis and you look at all the technology and advancements there, they're presented, most of them, as gifts from God, abilities given by God. And advancements in modern times are no different. Let me ask you a question, however. However, with all of these so-called advancements that are designed to make life easier, how is it they've actually led the Western world to being much, much more stressful and far busier? So-called social media is leading an entire generation into being less truly social. How is that possible? Because, folks, if it only adds to the many things that distracts you even further from the main thing, then it's a bad thing. I read a book years ago which said that central heat, the innovation of central heat and air conditioning, was a great advancement that also led to the corrosion of the family unit. And it said it's because in the old days you had one fire in the home and everybody had to gather around that fire and talk and discuss and live. Later it was one huge, immovable, gigantic television. Or before that, a radio. It was a necessity to gather around. Today, however, you can retreat to your own warm room, your own air-conditioned room, and every TV show and photo and song is right there on your own phone, your own iPad, your own laptop, all by yourself. Most of which, by the way, most of which comes through here is fuel for the flesh, not the spirit. The internet, beloved, is so dangerous. You know, there are still a few parents in here who have not allowed their teenage kids to have their own iPhone. For the record, I applaud that, and you will not regret it. Young people cannot unsee what's piped into their eyes and their hearts. And there is a lesson here, also of anxiety. You know, people talk about life being, quote, simpler. How much better it was when life was simple. But you know all that really means? All that means is what Jesus says in this text. Many things that distract you from the main thing always lead to worry. Now, folks, again, I'm not against GPS. I love GPS. Life is actually better for me with GPS and Google Maps. I remember when we driving down the road and had to open up that huge folded map and it spread out 10 yards and covered up the windshield. It was dangerous. I remember when if you needed a phone number, you had to look it up in this gigantic 50-pound book called the Yellow Pages. I remember when you had three photos, just three, tucked away in your wallet, and you had to carefully pull them out and show someone. This is my wife, my granddaughter. Now you've got 3,000 HD photos at the touch of your fingers. Yeah, technology is great. Unless, follow this, unless there's so many photos, they're practically meaningless. All through college and my early ministry, I had one single cherished picture of Louise in my wallet. One. And I loved pulling that thing out and looking at it when she was away or I was away or showing someone, hey, this is my young wife. Say, well, Pastor, I have 5,000 photos. Yeah, no, but what good is it when you're showing them to me? You're going like this. See all that? Oh, that's when we were here. There's Phoenix. Oh, there's California. Oh, there. You got an hour? I don't care. You see, folks, it's not the technology, is it? It's the heart. Martha wasn't on Facebook or Instagram posting pictures of her guests, but she still was not present in the room. She wasn't there with the Lord. She was distracted from the important thing, and that always leads to anxiety, whether in the first century or the 21st century. Some of you right now, you're in God's house with God's people. And yet, already you've checked your smartphone 5 times. Somebody's saying, how did he know 5 times? That's exactly how many times I checked it. You've already done it. You felt it vibrate in your purse or your pocket, and you're dying to check it to see why. On Mother's Day morning, I challenge you, turn off all of your notifications on all of your devices for the rest of your life. Why do you need to be notified you just got an email? Why do you want to be notified in that moment that something way out here has sent you a tweet or a news feed? For 6,000 years, nobody needed to be notified. I went to lunch once with several businessmen. And you've probably heard of this before, but these men, all the iPhones, all the cell phones went into the middle of the table. They were off limits during lunch. And the rule was, whoever answers theirs first pays the entire bill. So here's this big pile of electronics buzzing and vibrating and lighting up the table. And sure enough, somebody was willing to pick up the tab rather than miss a text. It's like crack. It's an addiction, or what Andy tells me crack is like. I don't know what crack's like. Bad illustration, sorry. 85,000 times a year, most of us will reach out and grab our iPhone. But likely, over 80,000 of those are unnecessary many things that just robbed you of the moment. 85,000? Really? Pastor, really? Yep. And in fact, there's an app for that. It's called Checky. It tells you how many times you check your phone. You should check it out.
There's a lesson of anxiety. Second thing you notice, number two, is a lesson of eternity. Notice again what happened, verse 38. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. By the way, notice the Bible describes this as her house, Martha's house. I don't know, maybe she held the mortgage or the deed. After all, she's type A. She's the go-getter and a doer. So that means that the Lord Jesus is identified as her guest. The Son of God, the Creator of the world, is a guest in her home. Probably the one and only time in that context. So, of course, she wants to serve food and drink and washing. And it was normal for the woman to serve her guests in the home. Hospitality, one of the great virtues of the Middle East. But you know what was not normal for a woman in the first century at all? Sitting at the feet of a rabbi while he taught. In fact, that was pretty much scandalous in those days. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You see, folks, there are more layers here to Martha's hostility than just the chores. She does not understand the desire of her sister's heart. Why would you sit down and listen to the word of God when there's work to be done? Pastor, I can't come to church every Sunday. It's the only day I have to mow the lawn. Wednesday night, do you realize how much homework we have? Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know, it's interesting. We probably wouldn't even know about this story if Martha hadn't told Jesus to rebuke her sister. She instigated this by indicting Mary, and that's when our Lord indicted Martha. And he did so by lovingly reminding her that many things are temporal, but one thing is needful. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Listen, folks, some things in life are here and gone. They are fleeting. They are material, inconsequential. So that by definition, guess what? They are distractions from that which is eternal. I'll put it this way. If Mary and Martha, both believers, were here on this platform today, and I got to interview them for you, and I got to ask them all the questions I wanted about this day in their lives, this day, what would matter to us? What would matter to you today? Which would you rather hear? Martha? Tell us this morning when Jesus was a guest in your home, which dishes did you use? What did they look like? How many did you have to wash? Or Mary? When Jesus was a guest in that home, would you tell us what did the Lord Jesus teach that day? Mary, could you tell us what words he said? By the way, because Mary chose the good part, because she cherished eternal things, I know if I asked her, she'd remember the words and happily share them. If I asked Martha, hey Martha, what did Jesus teach in your home? She'd say, I don't know. I don't know. I just know I serve bread. Hey, what was the message in church and Sunday school? I don't know. I was checking my weather app to see if my car that I just washed was going to get wet. Man, I hope somebody in this room just washed your car and you're worried about it getting wet right now. Remo, Remo, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Things, yep, temporal things, material things, fleeting things, worthless things, but mostly distracting things. William Henson wrote that in the early days of the circus, you would see a lion tamer facing that fierce lion with three things: a whip, a gun on his holster, and strangely, a four-legged stool. He would hold that stool up between he and the lion, and Henson said that while it looked silly, it was actually by design. He said that the trainers had learned that lions with their amazing eyesight tried to focus on all four different legs, one at a time, as individual threats. So that it was just enough distraction to keep them trained and at bay. For Christians today, this world is full of four-legged distractions. You know, those shiny objects that take our eyes off of the eternal things of God. There's a lesson of anxiety, a lesson of eternity, number three, very quickly. There's also a lesson of priority. Notice again verse 40. You'll notice it says, quote, Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Not just serving, but much serving. And of course, the point is, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Our Lord always elevated the servant as the greatest. So that you see, folks, it wasn't a matter at Martha's house of one thing being good and one thing being bad. It was really a matter of the good having priority over the best. And you know what? Christians are really good at rationalizing carnal living. Well, I'd go to church on Sunday, but I'm spending time with my family. I'm a family man at the beach. I would love to be still and take time to be holy. Be still and know that He is God. I would love to have time for the Word, but I'm so busy and diligent at work. I'm such a good testimony at work. And I can hear the Lord Jesus calling your name twice. You see, beloved, it's more important what you do with Jesus than what you do for Jesus. I'll remind you that Mary on this day had to make a choice. She's in the home, and over here there's a room with much preparation. And there are pots clanking, and there's a busyness there, and there is work to do. And over here, Jesus is teaching. And He's teaching the Word of God as the Son of God, yes, in the rabbinical style. And she looks at those rooms, and she has to make a choice. Am I going to take time and be with the Lord as long as He's here? Or I'm just going to do what tradition always says? Maybe do the thing that will get admiration from others, which it would have. This got scorned. Just like, remember when she broke the alabaster box and she got scorned from even the disciples? This received scorn. She had to make a choice of which mattered. Many things, busyness, or the most important thing, the one thing. If you read through the Gospels after this, you'll find these two women many times together. You'll find that in that one room where Mary broke open an alabaster box worth a year's wage to anoint the feet of everybody misunderstood, except Jesus. He saw her heart. And her heart was right. If you go to the tomb of Lazarus, it's the exact same thing. You see the heart of one, Martha, and the heart of other, Mary, and they're different. Martha retreats to her creeds. I know that in the last day, and she quotes her creeds. And so Jesus said, do you believe? Do you believe in that creed? Yes. And she said, He said, I am the resurrection life. He was trying to get Martha to see, I am the one. It's here, right in front of you. Mary understood that because Mary took time for the main thing and not the many things. How about us this morning as God's people? You've come to church. You can check that off. You've brought your Bible. You've sang some hymns. But when you walk out those doors, every day you'll have a choice, just like Mary. The main thing, or so many constant distractions that don't matter. Father in heaven, we are grateful that you have placed in your word this very powerful and poignant story of two sisters who made two different choices. And Lord, I pray that we'll understand the reasons you place it in your word. I thank you, Lord, for Mary and her example. I thank you, Lord, for Martha and her growth, possibly even from her example and Jesus' admonition. And I just ask, Father, that those of us in this room who name the name of Christ will truly be followers of Jesus, disciples of Christ, always recognizing that there's a vast difference between the eternal and the temporal, and that much of our anxiety and our worry that Jesus commanded us not to have is due to the distractions of this life. Bless these who ask for prayer, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.